Dearly loved people of God, what has been the most sought after thing in the world? What do people want? Things like gold, riches, you might say. The first NFT of the first tweet on Twitter, I think it was sold last year for something like $2.9 million. What about beyond stuff? What do people want? I think you would agree with me that people want things like joy, love, happiness. And this also has to be on the top five. Freedom. Freedom. That's why we're all supporting Ukraine. That's why we've been at times bothered a little bit with our government. We all treasure our freedom. But, and you probably knew there was a but coming, there is a lot of confusion about freedom. Just what freedom is even, and how we get freedom. Today, freedom seems to mean, well, you need to let me do whatever I want. Freedom is largely a freedom from. Freedom means that others don't control you. There's no talk today, strangely, about what freedom is for. A bird, for instance, would be free if it was free to fly. It's assumed today that freedom is within us. If you just take your hands off of me, then I will be free. But look in our text. There our Savior talks about being set free. That means that freedom has to be given to us. We're chained, we're imprisoned, like by an enemy. It's not in our power to be free. A person in prison does not find freedom simply by, you know, somebody stepping back. Neither do we. The Lord Jesus here in John 8 is talking to Jews who love to boast about their freedom. It is true that their land was under Roman occupation, so they didn't look that free. And if you look at the history of the Jews, also in the Old Testament, constantly they were not free. But inwardly, at this time too, in John 8, the Jews, well, they held their heads high. Inwardly, they had never bowed the knee to any foreign power. In their minds, they were the children of Abraham, the friend of God. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ challenges them that they need to be set free. Now let's add another thing to this along similar lines because it's very much connected. There's something else, perhaps just as coveted as freedom today. And that would be truth. Maybe that's desired a little bit less. We live in times where people are very cynical towards the truth. They don't think the truth can be found. But you know, we all do want to know the truth. Because the truth is, well, what is real? But what is truth? Pilate, you might know, asks that question later on in the Gospel of John. Like many today, Pilate scoffs at truth, scoffs at claims to truth. All that counts for him is power. You might know that people say we are all like, you know, blind men gathered around an elephant. And one man thinking, well, the elephant, yeah, he's like a tree. Or the elephant, no, he's like a wall. Or the elephant, he's like a trumpet or something. That's what people say about us today. We all have our own biases and agendas, and that colors and distorts everything that we see. In the Gospel of John, there has been a lot of debate about the truth, and especially the truth about Jesus. Who is he? Who are you? They ask in verse 25. Before our text. The Lord Jesus Christ, after all, if you've been reading through the Gospel of John, has made all sorts of almost mysterious statements about himself. It's hardly as simple as, well, Jesus is just another rabbi who tells us to love God and to love others. Jesus is not even just a miracle worker or a kind of magician. That's all fairly simple to figure out. But Jesus is not simple to figure out. Is there a way then for us to really know the truth? Is there a way for us to truly be free? And this is the wonder of our text, that both of these coveted treasures belong together, and they both belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I put the sermon under that theme, that Jesus shows and is the way to truth and freedom. And we'll look at three things: the path, the promise, and the blessing. So here this morning, we sort of jump into the Gospel of John. And we need to ask then, well, what's the situation here? This is during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, his earthly ministry. He's touring the land of Palestine, teaching, doing miracles. There's lots of crowds that are gathered around him that are very intrigued by it all. At some point in John 6, there are those who want to make him king, even by force. Others want to see more miracles. The crowds get also irritated by him, frustrated, confused, and worse. But if you've been reading through the Gospel of John, you would see that all of these crowds, even though they're gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ, have this in common. They still want to keep their distance. They're more fans than followers. They really want to use Jesus for their own purposes. They certainly do not want to commit to him. They misinterpret his words so easily, too easily. In fact, there's even a growing hostility to him. I mean, look at verse 37 after our text. You are seeking to kill me. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows this. And you see, that's the way it is. When you truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it will either be one thing or the other. You will either love him or you will hate him. And if you think that there is something else, you have not understood the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to Jesus Christ, there is no sitting on the fence. There is no place for sort of just being a fan. Jesus will either be everything to you, or you will do everything to get rid of him. But there are some in the crowd that are taking their first steps towards the Lord Jesus Christ, who might even be said to believe in him or begin to believe in him. And so, this is how our text begins. The Lord Jesus Christ encourages them and also challenges them. If you want to truly be my disciples, this is what you must do. Abide in my word. You know, we Reformed people sometimes talk about the true church because we're aware and we realize we need to be aware that not everything that calls itself church is worthy of the name church. We also, in our confessions, talk about a true faith, for instance, in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7, because also with faith, not everything that sort of looks like faith can be called faith. In our Belgian confession, we also talk about the marks of true Christians. Do you know what those are, the marks of true Christians? I know the pre-confession students, for instance, they often know the marks of the true church, and that's very good. But they equally ought to know the marks of true Christians. I'm not going to tell you what those are. You can look them up later. It's a little bit later in the Belgian Confession. But the marks of true Christians, because it's easy to call yourself a Christian. It's easy to go to a church and sort of fool yourself. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ here. He says, if you want to truly be my disciple, you must abide in my word. There is no discipleship, there's no being a Christian, there's no being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ without also picking this up and abiding in it. So let's unpack this little phrase for a moment. Abide in my word. That's what you must do, says our Savior. Abide is a favorite word of Jesus in the Gospel of John. John 6:56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. Abide in me, says Jesus in John 15:1. Sometimes in the Gospel of John, it's translated as the word remain, but it's the same word. Remain or abide. I think you can see the flavor, right, of that word. It means that this is not just sort of something quick. You don't just sort of pick it up and, okay, we're just going to close it. No. To abide is to live in it even, to dwell in it. Abide in my word, says the Lord Jesus Christ. That means truly listen, hear. Carve out the space in your life so that you can do that. Do not let my words just sort of go in one ear and out the other one. Because that was the temptation then. That still is the temptation now. Learn to listen. Learn to be still. Learn to be quiet. Hear what the Savior says about himself, about the world, about you and me, about God, about his salvation. Do not be so easily offended by his words and quickly brush him off. I mean, the Jews, they had their own ideas and their own expectations of a Messiah. They wanted a Savior who would do what they wanted, who would fit into their lives. And that meant that they could not truly listen to Jesus. They tuned out so much of what he said. They took offense. They let themselves misinterpret what Jesus said. Well, because then they could actually even reject him when he did not fit into their agenda. Abide in his word. Don't be like a butterfly, just sort of briefly touching on it. Live in his word. Soak yourself in the word. Make this your being, your identity. That this is where you find your life. Live in the word of Jesus. Hold on to that word. Abide has that flavor as well. Hold on to this word. Like it is your anchor in life. Seek to understand it more and more. And then lastly, we need to include this too. Do it. Those who abide in the word of Christ must be those who live by it. Let the word of Christ command you. Let it shape your life. Let the word of Christ truly be your life, the authority in your life. So here's the very simple question. Do we abide in the Word? Do we live in the Word of God, in the Word of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you making that statement? I pray that you are. That we gather this morning around the Word, not just to hear the minister, not just to hear something interesting, even just not to be encouraged, although we are encouraged, of course, too. But we gather because we say, no, this is where we find life.
in the Word and nowhere else.
You know, there's a certain reformed way of doing things. We have our traditions, we have the wisdom of many generations, and those are all good things. But it still begs the question, what is at the center of it all? Are we people of the Word? Are we people that daily listen to Scripture? Do we live in the Word, or do we do our living in the world? Because those are really the only two choices. Do we discuss aspects of our lives with the Word of God open before us? What does the Word of God say about, well, the current issues of the day? Like, what does the Word of God say about smoking pot? Do you, as parents, have you had this discussion with your children about that? What does the Word of God say about smoking pot? You will not find smoking pot, of course, in the Word of God. But you will find plenty of passages that certainly speak about this. What does the Word of God say about homosexuality? What does the Word of God say about transgenderism? We need to be those who have answers from the Word of God. A true disciple makes the Word of Christ, the teaching of Christ, the authority in their lives. If you do not have the Word of God open, you have no business thinking that you are truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will have no ground on which to stand. Also, when the world rages against you, and it will be revealed that you are a disciple in name only. Now, that's quite a challenge, but there is a wonderful promise here too. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's our second point. Now, let's backtrack for a moment and remember, here in the Gospel of John, there's all these questions about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he really? What is he saying about himself and his work? It seems to be all quite a mystery. And then if we really do understand what he is saying, there still is that question, is he really what he says he is? Well, it's now that Jesus gives this promise. Abide in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In John 7:17, we read something similar. Jesus has not made this a mystery. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I am just speaking on my own. So here's the thing. Many things, I would say, the most important things in life, cannot be learned just by Googling them, even by reading them in a textbook. I mean, to know people, you have to live with them. And I think we could say that to really know people, you have to love them. Only those who really love people come to know them. There are many things in life that can be known only by experiencing them. Like something like worship. No dictionary definition will really tell you what worship is. Many things can be known only by the doing of them. To truly know what marriage is, you have to be married. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ lays out the difficult and the challenging way to truth. Live, abide in my word, and then you will know the truth. If you want to know the truth, then you need to change where you live, where you are doing your living. You know, we sometimes talk about doctrine and life, our mind and our heart, as if they were two separate things. But I think we all know too, they go hand in hand. The more you put your faith into practice, the more you will know the truth of it. But the less you do, the less you live by the word, the less you will understand that word. And so, for instance, if we cannot understand the word, if scripture sort of seems dull and boring, is it because we are slow of mind? Or is it because we are slow of life? If the truth of the Word of God is not powerful to us, here's the question. How are we living? Are we living in the Word? The Apostle Paul says to Philemon in that letter, in verse 6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You see that connection there? Share your faith. Be active in your faith. Live it out. Love others. And then you will also have a greater and a growing understanding of the riches of the gospel. You will grow in your conviction of its power and its truth. It also means that as a church, we do not really need a group of scholars to tell us the truth. You know, today everybody wants to find an expert to, you know, get the definitive word on something. The amount of news articles today, this almost seems to be a favorite expression, the experts say. The amount of news articles that say that is sort of staggering. And here in the church, we also need to be very careful about that. I mean, someone like me, who can read a little bit of Greek and Hebrew, I need to be very careful about pretending that I, for instance, am the expert. And the expert that you need to understand the Bible. You all have an anointing by the Holy One. And you all have knowledge, 1 John 2, verse 20. You all have the Spirit. We'll talk about that more this afternoon. And therefore, you all do begin to know the truth. And here the Lord Jesus Christ lays out the way for us to grow in the truth. It's in living by the Word, living in the Word. That is exactly what we do not want to do as sinners, but that is exactly what we need to do. Now, the next question. What truth is our Savior talking about? You will know the truth. Well, what truth is that? Without a doubt, you need to read these words in context. This is, first of all, the truth about Jesus himself. How do you learn who Jesus is? You cannot be sort of a bystander. You cannot consider him at a distance like these crowds sort of wanted. No, abide in my word. Open up the word of God. Live in the word of God. And you will more and more come to know that dazzling truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. You will more and more be in awe of your Savior as you not only read the Word but live out of the Word. You will realize there is nothing like this. There is no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. Shakespeare wrote I don't know how many plays, and they're very well done, people say. But in the plays of Shakespeare, there is no character like the Lord Jesus Christ. Filled with such compassion, such grace, such truth, such holiness. When you open up the Word and live in it, you do come to know
those mysterious sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, about where he comes from and where he is going, you begin to know the truth of those things. That he came from out of this world and that he went to out of this world. You will learn that in Christ, as the Apostle Paul says later in Colossians 2, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You will learn that Jesus Christ is the way to life and that he holds the secret to life. But let's take it even a little bit further. Because Jesus here just says very generally, then you will know the truth. This is the great mystery here. The truth. The truth is not just a proposition, a statement. The truth is not an article on a web page. The truth is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ will later on say that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. He doesn't just hold on to the truth. So the truth that we learn here is not just the truth about Jesus. This text is immensely deep. Those who come to know Jesus come to know the truth. Like the truth everywhere, all the truth. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we all live in darkness. We all really live a lie, says the Word of God. We live in a made-up world of our own making. That's what the devil tempted us with in the beginning. That's what sin is really all about. A fake world that has no substance to it. The Apostle Peter talks about how the world is full of hollow deceptions. 1 Peter 1:18, an empty way of life. But when you live in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you make that your life, when you live by it, well, then you begin to know the truth. You begin to know what life is all about. You begin to see through all the lies of this world. And that our world is filled with lies, despite how things might well look differently at first. The truth is found only in Jesus. So much that it can be said that Jesus is the truth. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's like the sun rising upon you. It's like turning on the lights. Finally, you begin to see not only Jesus, but you begin to see everything else. But there's also a challenge and a promise, and that's our third smaller point. The Lord Jesus Christ continues, and the truth will set you free. Now, these words here in John 8, I think, are among the most misinterpreted and misused words. People apply those to any and every situation. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look at them in their context. The Lord Jesus Christ has been talking to a crowd that's very confused and even irritated by what he says. And then at the end, he gives them this promise that they will be set free. It's quite a curveball. You'll be set free, but we are free, say the Jews. We've never been slaves of anyone. No, Jesus will say in a moment, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. There's more subtle forms to slavery than you think at first. So look at all these words together. There's people that are very confused by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's saying. What is the problem? Has Jesus not been clear enough?
Are they maybe just not smart enough to understand what he's saying? No, this is the problem, that they are enslaved. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The problem that we have then is hardly just sort of up here in our heads. Our problem is our nature. We do not know because of what we are. We do not see because of how we live. In John 8:47, Christ will say, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. But when you abide in Christ and in his word, you will come to know the truth. And the chains that you did not even realize were around you will be broken." Our own pride is really a prison that we cannot get out of on our own. There are also chains of success, wanting to be successful, chains of preserving your reputation, chains of addictions, chains that are nothing but coping mechanisms to get through life. There are chains of sin, says the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are chained to being selfish, to putting ourselves first. But when you abide in Christ and in his word, you come to know the truth and you come to know freedom. All those chains are broken. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to know the love of God again. And so all those chains that are about ourselves, about us seeking a life for ourselves, those are shattered because we know the God who holds on to us far more than we hold on to him. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to know the worship and the joy and the glory of God. And all those chains of you seeking your own glory are shattered. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to know true riches. And finally, the chains of being enslaved to seeking earthly riches is broken. When you come to know the truth, the truth that is in Jesus Christ, the truth that is Jesus Christ, what in this world can imprison you? Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, we now live in a different place. We no longer live in our sins. We live in him. We realize there is life in him. For us sinners, we begin to live by his word. We are brought to God. And you see, that is what our world today entirely misses. A bird is only free when it's free to fly. A fish is only free when it's free to swim. You and me, we are only free when we are brought to our God, when we begin to live in the Word of God, when we begin to live by the Word of God. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to bring. When you abide in his Word, you abide in God. And the triune God abides in you. And that
is freedom. Amen.